Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Buck and Sue condition. Schultzy kind enough to join us on the other side of the glass today. Schultzy, big day or big weekend coming up for your Mariners. How are we feeling?
Excited. ALDS game one. I will be there on Saturday. And can I just say, shout out to my dad. He sprung for the flex package for next season, so we could hopefully get access to some ALCS tickets once they go on sale here tomorrow.
Love it. Yeah. So, Papa Schultzy.
I am a little disappointed, though, in one thing.
No headband today?
No headband. Like,
sorry, bro.
I mean, we're talking about dressing up, dressing down, and I feel a little awkward staring at Schultzy right now. You want to talk about being dressed down? No headband, and I would hope that when you go to the game, the headband is on.
The headband will be on. I don't know if you saw Tarik Skubal doing his interview after game one for the Tigers, but he had a 2025 postseason Tigers headband on, so I'm like,
oh, you're fixing foaming
at the mouth.
You?
I'm like, all right, I'm gonna buy two of those for the Mariners.
Although I will say, as a I am not a Mariner fan, I am a Mariner supporter. How about that?
Okay.
Right? Well, I mean, the only baseball team that I truly pull for is the Mets. And then I try to always root for hometown teams. And I know that's, you know, Mariners are the closest thing we have to a hometown team. So I support the Mariners. As a supporter, I didn't want to see Detroit. I would have much rather seen Cleveland. And I get the fact that Detroit has crapped the bed. I don't want to see Skubal twice. When you're in a series and you've got a guy capable of shoving a ball sideways up the old keister, Madison Bumgarner style, and I get the Mariners have great pitching too, that dude is...
Avoid him at all costs.
I just don't want anything to do with him.
Yep.
And so neither one of those teams should scare you, but with Cleveland having two of their better pitchers suspended for gambling charges, and yes, one team had a monumental class, but one team for three quarters of the season was one of the best teams in baseball and has arguably the most dangerous arm in the game, I would have rather have seen Cleveland. The Mariners shouldn't be afraid of anyone in the American League.
No.
I mean, that roster is as good as anyone's. I don't know. They're not the best. I don't think they're the best team because there's teams in the National League. I think they're the best team in the American League. I've seen too many times in baseball where the San Francisco Giants were not better than the Kansas City Royals.
No, one guy was. Yeah.
And he actually
held it together kind of, yes. but he went out and he won two games by himself and he came out of the bullpen to win a third.
Yes. And that would be the one thing if I'm a Mariner fan that scares me. If you got a guy that can go out and give you seven innings and give up one run, all it takes, and we've seen this so many times, it takes one three-game, four-game slump of your offense, mm-hmm. and you're that's why postseason is so...
Everyone starts gripping a little bit,
yeah.
Things get tighter.
It takes not even a three- or four-game slump. It can be two or three, because if Skubal plays out of his mind and gives you two wins, and your offense goes cold for even one or two other nights, all of a sudden you look up and you're like, crap. And that's why I just, like... I'm not cursing anyone. I think the Mariners have to feel sky high, but you're sitting around, you're waiting, and here comes Detroit that basically has been having to play for their life now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I would have rather seen the Guardians if I'm a Mariner fan.
I feel the complete opposite of you, actually.
Yeah.
I absolutely am excited that they're facing the Tigers, and here's why. So Tarik Skubal went game one, almost 110 pitches. Mm-hmm. If the Mariners do have to see him a second time in this series, he ain't going to be fresh. And this entire Tigers lineup is full of young guys, you know, like Dylan Dingler hitting 15 home runs, Riley Green. Like, they're good, but they're not great. And frankly, if I look at that pitching staff compared to Cleveland's, I don't want to face Hunter Gaddis. I don't want to face Cade Smith. The Mariners getting walks all season doesn't really come into play here in the postseason. I'd rather face Detroit's shaky pitching staff as opposed to the Guardians. So for me, I'm excited because you're basically going to see Skubal on the road. And if you get him to a game five, he's going to be pitching like four or five innings maximum. And it's going to be at T-Mobile Park. I just see the Mariners. Yeah, they would roll over either team, but I'm so much more excited to see them face the experienced Tigers.
They'll roll over either team.
It's a good time of year to be confident.
The cock of the walk over there. They're just going to roll over.
Nothing bad could
happen to the Mariners in the postseason.
Hey, talk your talk, man. This is the time.
I love it.
Let's talk a little bit of playoff baseball currently. One of the other things I saw, Mariners related, I'm sure Schultz saw this as well. I don't know that this has been done in the past for other teams, and if it maybe they have, and I just haven't been aware of it, and I saw it because it was in the local market. Mm-hmm. Mariners and the Brewers did this too. They were hosting scrimmages at their home ballparks while wildcard teams were playing games, and so they opened those scrimmages to the public. I can't remember if it was free to get in or if you had to pay a number.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But proceeds went
nominal
to a
fee,
local charity.
Concessions are open, and I saw some video from it. I saw Cal Raleigh go yard in it, and it was a really cool environment because it just, we talked yesterday about the entry point of getting into a playoff game, and there are going to be so many people that don't have a chance in hell at affording the gate fee to get in there, and I think it's a really cool thing that franchises who aren't playing wild card games are like, you know what, let's find a way to include fans that want to be part of this, and it looked like there were a few hundred, maybe thousand people out there, and I also saw they had Ichiro Suzuki playing right field for the scrimmage. That dude loves ball more than anybody. But I don't know if it's a new trend in baseball. I thought that was really cool for fans.
Yeah. Well, and just across the board, when anytime you get fans involved and you see it with, and I don't, do we credit the Raptors for doing the outside the ballpark?
Oh, yeah, the Jurassic Park thing. That's what they called it. But theirs kind of made it famous. But now it seems like a lot of teams are doing the, hey, when we're on the road, watch along in the big setting with us.
They do it at home, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. They do it at home. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, it's for all of the big games. Like a ton of hockey teams do it now. I think anything like that is cool. The Padres have something like this even during the regular season. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen. So the Padres games all sell out.
Yeah.
Like it's a huge fan base. And in center field at Petco, it's kind of a low, you can kind of see into the stadium. And so they have this like family area where you're in the ballpark, but you're not really.
Is that with like the grass and, yes. And the sandbox and all that? Yeah.
And you can like, and it's pretty cheap.
It's almost like being like a GA at a concert or something like that.
Yeah. And you can't really see much, but there's a video board and it's just, you know, when you're down there and you can't afford a ticket, you can kind of go and mill around out in center field and you're kind of part of it, but you're not. So I do think more and more teams are kind of embracing the either, you know, the tickets aren't available or not everyone can afford. I mean, the cheapest price for this to the get in is like, what, $300 for the M's?
I think that's right.
That
yeah.
was face value. Or sorry, the face value for buying it directly from the M's was 300 level, 190. Yeah, and that's
and if I, you yeah, were I think a, second.
You say 390?
No, 190.
190 for 300 level.
For the 300 level, but then, yeah, if you have to buy it right now, secondary is like 260 or 300. Yikes.
So,
yeah.
you know.
Per seat.
Yeah, so you're talking two people. I mean, you're five bills.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's cool that more and more people are, more and more teams are finding creative ways to have fan engagement. I'll tell you what, if I had a family of four, I can't, like, what do you do?
No, but for $40, all four of you can go to the scrimmage if you want and feel like you're a part of it.
Exactly.
That's a great
$40
great deal.
You're there and, you know, Ichiro's out there playing.
Yeah. You know, all the stars are basically taking their hacks. Like you get a little taste of the playoff fever. It's great.
And I think that's really cool. And I don't, there's no place really down there around T-Mobile where you could do maybe at one of the breweries across the street. There's really no.
Like central, like
no,
square or
no,
something
there's
like that.
No,
yeah, like plaza.
You know, yeah, T-Mobile doesn't have a plaza. There's a parking garage, and then across the street, they've got, I don't know what that little brew house is anymore. I know that's changed a couple times. There's a strip club.
Do it there.
There's a strip club right there. There's just a couple of restaurants. There's really not an area where you could do a big gathering outside to have like kind of a party. But like, if we ever get back to meaningful games at Moda Center, you know, they got a courtyard there. You can do something cool.
You can definitely
there.
Do that.
Yeah.
Get like some musical acts to play during timeout, stuff like that.
Yeah. I like the idea of I don't know what that strip club is up in Seattle, but yeah, get some of the gals out there, you know. Shake it a little
bit. Showgirls? Is that the one you're
I think it might
about?
Be. Yeah, yeah. It's like right across the street, basically.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, just get out there, you know, get out there, have them shake it a little bit, you know, get them in how about this? Something for the kids. Maybe some, instead of face painting, we do some body painting, you know, out there, you know, get the kids out there painting.
Mariners logos all over there.
Yeah, paint the Mariners logos on there. You know, you can do a big dumper sort of thing out there. You know, just kind of have some fun with it.
Definitely big dumper tie-ins. Yeah, you could have a big dumper contest.
Yeah.
Dad, what's under the compasses on her body? I don't understand.
You know what's funny is I have a buddy who lives in Spokane, and they're from the Seattle area originally, and he wanted to take his family and his three boys out to a Mariners game. They hadn't been to one. They were like, you know, 5, 7, and 9 or something. Yeah. And they got a hotel right by the ballpark, and they're like, the middle child like opens up the blinds of the window. It's like right across the street from Showgirls. And he's like, Dad, what is that place? What do they do there? And he's like,
the first time my kids were big, we grew up, because they grew up being hockey fans. That's what we watched at my house a lot. And so when my daughter, I want to say for her like 14th, 15th birthday, something like that, she had never been to a pro hockey game.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, closest one is Vancouver.
Yep.
So for her birthday, we were like, well, we'll take you to Canada. And she was into the Blackhawks at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Blackhawks were playing up there. It was the Blackhawks and the Red Wings playing back to back. And I was like, we're going to.
That's great.
Yeah. So we'll go up there. So we drive up, same thing. If you've ever, Vancouver's a very walkable city.
Yeah.
And everything's right there.
It's a really cool city if you've been.
So we get our hotel, we walk to the game, and we're walking back. And sure enough, my daughter, Vancouver is home to a lot of late night massage places.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like 11:30 at night, and we're walking by, and there's like two across the street from each other, big neon lights, whatever, massage. And my daughter goes, dead serious, looks at me and goes, Dad, she's like,
doesn't it seem kind of late for a
She's
massage?
Like, why are there massage places open at 11:30 at night? And
well,
I kind of smiled. I looked over at my wife and I was like, well, you want to handle this one? She's just looking at me and she's like, I started laughing. She's like, what's Dad laughing about? And I'm like, have Mom explain that one. That's like, I don't think you want a massage, honey. I think those are the massage parlors that you're. Should have just said, like, hey, why don't you go in and knock on the door and see if you can go grab one of those real quick.
See what kind of services they're offering,
huh? See what they're offering up for, you know. Say they're not for you. Say it's for your dear old dad. He's just sending you in to see what's up. I'm sure that'll go over real well.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.